as the weather gets nicer, the snow is gone, grass starts greening up, I know that there are many here among us that are looking to that tilled piece of ground that is probably in your backyard, and you're thinking, it's time to get some plants going. Maybe you're like Jim, and you've probably ordered your seeds last year, and you're ready to go now, and you maybe already have stuff in the ground. Jim, do you have stuff in the ground? Not yet, okay. But you're thinking about it, you're planning it. Some of us are even at home with spreadsheets and plotting where we're going to put what, and maybe you're thinking about what didn't work last year and what you want to try new this year. Maybe you're thinking some flowers. Maybe you're not thinking this at all. You think, well, that sounds like a lot of work. I don't want to do that because I know I can put things in the ground. There's things I'm going to have to pull out of it too, like all the weeds or the grass that grows where you want good things to grow. Because gardening is a lot of hard work, isn't it? And maybe you're not a gardener, you're probably a farmer, and well, that's even more difficult, I would imagine. It's hard. There's a lot of work that goes into getting things to grow the way you want them to out of the ground. This passage from the Old Testament tonight, Isaiah 5. Isaiah sings a song about the Lord and the Lord's vineyard. And he paints this picture of what God has done as kind of this master gardener over this thing that he has done, this vineyard that he has planted. The Lord has put a lot of hard work as a vineyard owner into this vineyard. He dug the ground. He removed stones. He planted the best vines. And not only did he plant the best things, but he put them on a fertile hillside to begin with. The Lord has put a lot of work into this. Not only this, but the Lord, as the vineyard owner, has built even a watchtower placed on the hill to watch out so that thieves don't come and ruin his vineyard, so that animals don't get in and eat things away. He's even prepared things for a harvest. He's put a place there so that he can get the grapes from this and start making wine. But in this, all this work that the Lord has done, he hopes that sweet and good grapes are going to be produced. But in the end, it's bitter grapes. Something that he didn't want there begins to grow instead. And so then Isaiah sings this song, and he talks about this, and he says, well, what does the Lord do then? Well, the Lord's going to let it go. It's not producing like he wants it to. It's not giving fruit that is equal to all the work that God has put into it, all the love that God has put into this vineyard. So here's what God's going to do. He's going to cut down the hedge, tear down the wall that's around it. He's going to let weeds come in. He's going to let it just be overgrown. It's like letting it go to CRP or back to prairie land. The Lord's going to let the vineyard be trampled. It's going to turn into desert. It's not going to be pruned. It's not going to be hoed up. Weeds aren't going to be taken care of. The Lord knows that it's going to be covered with thorns and briars. And God being God and being able to control the weather, he's not even going to send rain upon this thing that he put such hard work into. He's going to just let it go. God desired something incredibly beautiful to come out of his vineyard, out of his garden, but instead all it does is produce things that just don't match the work that he put into it. The Lord wanted it to be a blessing to the rest of the world. But instead it wasn't. And at the end of that Isaiah passage, Isaiah tells us flat out, Israel is the vineyard. Judah is the garden. In fact, the people of God, God's chosen people, the ones that he loved, the ones that he brought out of slavery in Egypt into the promised land, that he gave them his word, he gave them the law, he called them my people. I will be your God, you will be my people. These are the people that are the garden. They're the ones that got and received all the love that God had, so that they would be a blessing to the world. And instead, they're just like wild fruit, wild grapes. They're not what he wanted. The Lord says, I had hoped for honesty and for justice. Instead, he gets dishonesty and cries for mercy were all he found. They were to be a blessing to the world. Instead, they were a curse upon it. As I was reflecting on this passage, I thought, well, these are God's chosen people. He gave them everything they could possibly need, and they failed. And then I thought, well, what does that say for the rest of us? What does that say for the rest of the world? Our propensity to sin, our desire to sin is just too strong. If we are a garden, we produce nothing but thorns, briars, and wild things. We failed. But this is why our gospel passage is so beautiful. Because as Jesus is talking to his disciples, as he's getting ready to go to the cross and to die for all of humanity, he has this passage from Isaiah on his mind, and he tells his disciples, I am the true vine. The implication is that I am everything that God has wanted in his vineyard. I am. Every way that this world has failed, every way that God's chosen people have failed to bring something beautiful to this world on God's behalf, Jesus says, I am the true vine, and my Father is the gardener. Jesus is utterly and entirely obedient to the Father's will, and he produces nothing but good fruit. But it doesn't take long in this passage for Jesus to get to the point as to how that good fruit will be produced, how that ultimate act of obedience will be played out. And we know this because we hear this all the time, but it always bears repeating. Jesus is the true vine, and the true vine is the one who lays down his life for the sake of the world. He lays down his life so that our sins would be forgiven, that we would have faith in him and come to him, and in having faith in Christ, we would then be grafted on as a branch onto the true vine. Jesus invites us to be grafted into him. And he tells us that, listen, you can't be part of the Lord's vineyard unless you are grafted onto me. You are the branch. I am the vine. You can't do it without being part of me. Just like every other I am statement we've had throughout this series in Lent, it is exclusive. We cannot hope to be obedient to God if we are not grafted on to Jesus Christ. And that is the gospel for us. that Christ died that we would be grafted onto him. It's a free invitation to all to receive him in faith and to be part of what God wants us to be part of that true vineyard then that grows and brings something beautiful to the world. That's God's desire for his church, to do this. And Christ lays that out for us in this passage, that as branches grafted into Christ, Christ then expects something from us, to produce good fruit, to be obedient to the Lord and his commands, to gather food for food pantries, to bring the good news to those who are hurting and are in need, to care for the sick, to care for the homeless, to care for those who need care. By this we keep the command of Christ. And by this we bring glory to the Lord. Jesus is the true vine. You are the branches. Jesus says, stay joined to me, and I will stay joined to you. Just as a branch cannot produce fruit unless it stays joined to the vine, you cannot produce fruit unless you stay joined to me. I am the vine. You are the branches. Let us pray. O gracious Lord, we have heard the exclusivity of who Jesus is, that there is no other way to the Father except through him, that he is the vine, we are the branches, that because he is, we are not. But we have also heard how you desire for people to come to you, to have faith in you, to be forgiven, to be restored, to be made new. We thank you that you have called us, that we did not choose you, but you sure chose us, and you died for us. Help us and empower us, O Lord, to go throughout our community and to proclaim your message to all those who are desperately in need. We pray this in your name. Amen.